Hello and welcome to the GSC Grays podcast. I'm Charlie Roberts, Marketing Manager here at GSC Grays. And today I'm catching up with our director, John Coleman, who oversees our farm and country house department to discuss exactly what is happening to land prices, what people are looking for when it comes to purchasing land for forestry and carbon offsetting, and how you can take advantage of the current demand for quality land through our dedicated services. So without further ado, let's hear from John. So John, in terms of your farms and land market, can you just give us an insight into what's happening at the moment and what we're seeing?
Yes, we're coming to life, I think, is the answer. The market has been very quiet up until now. A lot to do with the weather, but also to do with clients remaining undecided as to whether or not to go forward this year. And I think what we're now seeing is a little bit more certainty in the changes to the agricultural subsidy laws, an understanding of how those who are being offered some form of payment to retire is going to come through, although the detail is still not there yet. But there's been a whole heap of factors really that have prevented a lot of land coming to the market, and I think will probably be reflected in another year of low supply altogether. However, as you say, we're starting to see farms come to the market across the range from small blocks of land. There's a high-class dairy farm which has now come to the market in our area, a good stock farm on the edge of the uplands, and various blocks of arable land are now starting to come. It's still quite early because, particularly for the arable land, the crops are not very well advanced because the weather's been so cold. So it might not be looking at its best. So I would expect that once things warm up, we will see a little bit more coming to the market. But in terms of the number of acres currently being advertised for sale, we're still way down on what we would normally expect.
So if you're looking at investing or expanding, how can we help?
Well, we can try and unearth properties that might be coming to the market and have a direct line into those who are thinking about it. And might be persuaded to go privately. And we act for a number of clients on this very basis to try and see if we can find them something in a very undersupplied market. And if they can buy something by paying a premium to prevent it going to the market, they get a much fairer chance of being able to secure that purchase. As I say, we've now built up quite a portfolio of fully retained clients who are have instructed us, will remunerate us for successful results in identifying, assessing and negotiating the purchase of a variety of properties from commercial arable farms of over 1,000 acres if we can get hold of it, down to smaller equestrian units where we have quite an expertise locally on both racing yards and livery and equestrian properties. And we've got quite a reputation for selling these well. So we have a good in to clients who might be thinking of selling, and we can put buyer and seller together out with the market.
So it's a bit like a matchmaking service.
Very similar.
Really. And how does your finder's fee work?
There are various ways to skin that particular cat, but the way we do it is we offer a time-based search service. And then we provide the assessment of the farm and the negotiating and the tactics around negotiating on a success-related fee basis.
And you've spoken there a lot about, kind of, I'll use that term, matchmaking service, but what are these retained clients really looking for at the moment? What are they looking to invest in and expand on?
Well, it depends on what they need. So we've got a range of our retained clients who are looking, so from the top of my list down, we have one particular farmer who is looking to add land to his holding. So he's looking for something relatively close by, within 20 miles if possible. Tractors go quite quickly along the road now, so they can take big bits of kit, further than they might have normally been able to do. So we're looking to add between 100 and 200 acres to that particular unit. We have two clients with rollover funds as a result of releasing land for house building. With significant funds to spend, they are both looking for big commercial arable units that they can run as standalone businesses. And that's probably going to be the hardest thing to locate in this particular market, because I think if you look across the whole spectrum, there's a lot more rollover money around now than there used to be, because the house builders are either taking up the options they have got, or they are building their land banks. And so this money is now being released back to farmers who, in the main, wish to spend most of it in an industry that they know, back into agriculture, rather than reinvest it into other businesses.
And you spoke right at the top of everything about what kind of is stopping people, but do you think there's more to it than that?
I mean, I think there are very many reasons for people deciding to sell. And sadly, the three Ds really drive most of the market, debt and divorce. But you also have a lot of family businesses which are splitting, or siblings deciding they want to do their own thing, and that might cause a reassessment of the farm business, and therefore the raising of some capital through the sale of a whole or part of the farm. So there are lots of different reasons that people decide to sell, the last of which is probably retirement. And as I say, there are some incentives being offered under the new UK-based subsidies to agriculture to encourage those who are thinking of retiring to do so, and so that there is more opportunities for either new starters or for other entrants into the agricultural industry.
But there's still that lack of...
But it's still the decision-making process. I mean, personally, I don't think that the money that's going to be available to those retiring is going to be sufficient to actually be the final catalyst to making that decision. Mm. I think if you're thinking of retiring, you're thinking of retiring. And if there is nobody in the family who wishes to take it on, then the best option is to sell while the market is at its best. And it's pretty strong now because of the lack of supply. Mm. And our market, more than any other market, is about supply and demand. And the last 2 years have seen a woeful undersupply from a man in my position and doing what I do for a living. But what it has is that the net effect is that it maintains land values at the current high level that they're at. And I think we're going to see that the best land will get more expensive. And whereas we might have seen the poorer land getting even less expensive because it's less desirable in the marketplace, actually there will be a bit of a change there with the new regime, because I think the new people coming into the market who are looking for carbon tax credits because they want to plant trees on areas of ground, but the more marginal land is much more suitable for creating hedgerows, wildlife areas, ponds, all that sort of thing. So I think there's going to be an added value at that end of the market through amenity and through the opportunity of being able to gain from the new subsidy system. Whereas the land block in the middle, the lowland grassland type farm, that will probably be the one most at risk for land prices to come off a little bit as supply catches up with demand.
And what else can we do at GSC Grades to kind of support somebody and add value through their journey with us?
Well, one of the real benefits of our business is that we offer so many different service lines to help our clients all through the process. So initially, we have specialist land valuers who can get a really good handle on what the thing might be worth. We're very much to the fore in understanding and assessing what natural capital means in terms of value. So that new information and a new understanding of how that translates into values is going to be key to what we're able to provide. But more importantly, when we're successful, when we've either sold a farm to somebody or helped somebody buy it, we can then provide a full management service right the way through from agronomy to managing the actual process of selling the crops at the end of the day, doing the estate management, letting cottages. So we can add value for our clients at each step of the purchasing process and beyond, until such time as somebody who's new into farming can feel confident they can get on and do it themselves, or and come back to us on a project by project basis, or for somebody who likes the idea of just having somebody overseeing things, you know, right the way through to simply helping somebody manage that more annoying office-based work, doing BPS claims, which we do an awful lot of in support of our clients, which again opens opportunities for them to look at where they require grant assistance for things. So we can literally hold the hand through the entire business of owning farmland and estate property.
And discretion is really important as well, especially for someone that's perhaps letting go of a farm or having to sell land when perhaps they don't want to.
Discretion is a key part of what we do. Most farmers would much rather their business was their business and didn't have to share it with anybody else. Mm. And that's why so much land and farms are sold privately. So in very rough terms, only 50% of the land which is sold in any 1 year actually comes to the market. The majority are sold privately. Now, that doesn't suit everybody, but it certainly suits those who would rather their business was their business. Mm. And it's that's why this buying service that we offer is so important, is knowing where you can have those conversations and provide an opportunity for buyers to get in before something comes to the open market, because, you know, one in two don't.
Okay, you've got your crystal ball again, because we know how much you like it. Where do you think values are going?
Ooh, I think values are going to stay pretty steady, as I've said. When there's a lack of supply, there's a lot of pressure coming on the very best stuff. So if you've got new people coming into the market with rollover, or people wanting to expand their businesses, they want to invest in the very best. So there's going to be competition for the best arable land. That will continue to edge up, in my view. And until such time as there is more supply than demand, and we are way, way from that situation at the moment. I think that the lower value land in more marginal areas will also increase in value. And I think we might see quite dramatic increases in value. Where we used to put maybe £1,000, £1,500 per acre on marginal lowland ground as it gets to the fringe of upland ground, rough grazing, that sort of area, we'd be expecting to get around about £1,500 an acre. But that becomes really quite key planting ground now for forestry. And forestry is going to be a key factor in our market this year. There's already big demand from the private market, but there's also significant demand from the institutional market, who, you know, 200, 300, 400 acres is of no use whatsoever, and they're looking to invest millions and millions of pounds. So they, you know, when you think that even at £2,500 an acre for some planting land, an institution buying to have a meaningful impact on their tax, on their carbon offset situation, they're going to have to buy a lot of land to be able to make any major impacts. And over the course of the last 10 years, there simply hasn't been enough land.
We only have a finite amount of land anyway, and if it's not,
we do, and it needs to be good for growing trees. So it needs to be warm and wet, that grows the best trees. So you're looking west coast, southwest Scotland is the most productive area for commercial forestry. The north of England has some really good ground, but a lot of it is in national parks, and the national parks have been anti-tree planting. And so, although I think that might be beginning to change, because blanket commercial conifer planting is not now seen as the way to do forestry, so there's a lot more integration with mixed species, native broadlands, broadwoods around the edge of woods to soften them, and so I think you can see the national parks embracing the newer thought process in forestry a lot more than they used to. But releasing that land for forestry is going to be absolutely key, because there is and will be a significant demand for it.
And is there still, would you say, we spoke about it in our agency podcast, is there still a north-south divide when it comes to supply and demand, especially for land?
Well, I think, yes, it's all about quality of land. And so, you know, if you're an arable farmer, you're going to be looking east coast because the land is better, the soils are better for it, the weather is better for it, it's drier and warmer generally. As you go further north up into Scotland, you've got some fantastic productive ground again along the east coast up through Fife, up to the Black Isle north of Inverness, you know, where some of the best sea potato ground is in the country. Longer sunshine hours for your oilseed rape and mustard crops.
In Scotland?
In Scotland, yeah. So, you know, this sort of... But it depends where you are. If you're farming in north of Scotland, you're going to be buying in north of Scotland. Mm. It's unlikely that if you have a business based in Lincolnshire that you're going to be looking to expand out with your immediate area, unless, of course, you're looking at a standalone business somewhere else. And it may be that because of the lack of supply, businesses who are that expansionist will have to look at farm businesses further away from where they are and look at them as completely separate entities.
What about the equestrian side of things? Spoken about a lot about farm businesses, and we have had equestrian facilities on the market recently. How are they performing? Is there much demand for them? How much has COVID affected that particular?
Well, I mean, it's quite interesting. We've had two really quite significant equestrian properties on the market which have now sold. One of them had over 70 liveries in, so you can imagine how many people were milling about on a daily basis, all requiring to conform to COVID regulations. But they all seemed to manage pretty well, to be fair, and it didn't impact the market particularly. Horses still need somewhere to live, and the equestrian community are very much a closed group. There's a lot of knowledge shared between each of them, and understanding what people are looking for is very important in finding the right fit for any trade in an equestrian property. And as I say, we've, because of the success in recent years on a number of really quite significant properties, we've got a very good contact list for all that. But in general, we have really quite serious demand. What we're finding is we're getting new people coming into our market who are moving from further south, where the residential element of their properties has become such that it's too much money tied up in the bit that doesn't earn them any money. Mm-hmm. So they're moving, and that's not that far south, so basically Harrogate area and north. So we're getting a lot of people moving up into Teesside, into County Durham and South Northumberland. And then others making the full jump and saying, well, let's try and find what we want in Scotland because, you know, it's going to get more for our money. But the North East offers an awful lot in between that major decision. So that's why we found that the market's been strong. The sales that we've done range from small 10-unit, 10 stable units to, as I say, 70-odd livery clients with facilities, indoor training facilities, horse walkers, outdoor show jumping arenas, the full gambit of what is available. The limitation on these businesses is the amount of land that's available with them, and again, that's a problem further south, where you've got high-value house, 3, 4, 5 acres, and you're trying to grow the number of horses that you can have on that, whether it's for race yard training purposes or whether it's for livery. You are restricted by the amount of land that you've got, so again, they're coming north to look for more land to go with it and probably less house in many cases.
And you said there was a lot of demand. I mean, how much demand is there?
We have over 15 hot buyers. It's an interesting way of describing it, but that's how we do.
Sounds like they're on fire.
And these are buyers who have shown us that they have the capital available to purchase, who have a desire to move now and have a very specific requirement which can be provided for. I mean, so long as you've got the house and the land, you can add the buildings, and that's really what we're helping people to do. But we live in an area where horse racing is particularly strong around Midland Gallops. There's a lot of demand for wanting smaller yards round about there to take advantage of the renowned success of the Johnson Yard, and it draws people in. And there are lots of people who are branching out who have maybe been involved with other people's businesses who are trying to set up on their own, and they're looking for smaller units without having to buy sufficient land to support the gallops that are required. But if you can lease that sort of facility, then that really draws people in. So around Midland, Massham, Richmond, it's a very strong market for that. And as you go further north, the training yards are slightly less, but nevertheless, there's a great opportunities because you've got the coast for doing a lot of gallops. So you've got a lot close to the coast in Northumberland and in County Durham. So there are lots of opportunities, and the demand that we're getting is just for that sort of thing.
And you spoke about your database and how you can connect people, but where are you getting these people from?
Well, people have come to us. I mean, once you are seen to be a player in a specific market like that, you know, we at the moment have particular expertise in the equestrian world, in the poultry world as well. We've sold 3 high-quality egg production units. And so once you've been involved in them, people come to us, register with us to be kept informed of what's going on. So we've built over the last 3 years quite a significant database of people who really know what they're doing in those industries. And we can find out and share information with them to try and identify property opportunities for those who are in the market to buy.
There we have it. From crystal ball gazing to the current trends for purchasing equestrian properties to adding value to your farm business with our experienced and dedicated teams, there is certainly plenty to digest. If you're thinking about selling or investing in a property or land and would like to discuss your options, please contact us on 01748 897 627. Until next time, stay safe. Bye-bye.